T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh, boy. All right. So I got the networks up in the studio and I'm monitoring the different CBS channels and seeing if any of them are going to be taking some of the press conferences tonight. So one of the CBS channels has President Trump's speech.
But I gave him A+, not A.
All right, so I don't exactly know. We're kind of joining some of these in progress, and we're taking them as they come in. And if you're just tuning in, and maybe you haven't been by a radio or a television, and you're just listening in, of course, it's 8:06 now in St. Louis, Missouri. It looks like President Trump, the two articles of impeachment have been passed. Looks like both of them passed as expected. Let me see if I can go to CBS Channel 40 here. See, that's the CBS Channel. It's having a hard time flipping over here. Let me see if I can try this one more time. All right, hold on. CBS 40. Okay, I think this is now Nancy Pelosi. The Democrats are now taking to their press conference after the articles of impeachment have been approved. Let's see.
Use the powers of his office.
This is Jerry Nadler.
His own personal political gain to the detriment of the national security interests of the United States. That is the very definition of an impeachable offense. When Congress began to investigate President Trump's wrongdoing, he engaged in an unprecedented pattern of obstruction. That, too, is why the impeachment power exists. A president who subverts both our elections and our constitutional system of checks and balances puts himself above the law, and it is Congress' duty to hold the president, any president, accountable. It gives us no pleasure to stand here today.
Yeah.
But President Trump's conduct has put our next
That's
election
debatable.
At risk. President Trump's behavior puts the integrity of our constitutional order at risk. And President Trump's continued actions put the rule of law at risk. The framers gave us the power of impeachment.
I mean, is
for
there
exactly
anyone that actually believes that the Democrats today are operating with 100% full integrity of what the founders of the Constitution would envision this process to be like?
To our free and fair elections and to the separation of powers that safeguards our liberty. A president must not be allowed to become a dictator. I want to thank Speaker Pelosi. Chairman Schiff,
I say they're still really trying hard to throw those buzzwords in there, aren't they?
Who today defended the principles upon which our nation was established. Today, the House of Representatives did its constitutional
I'm just waiting
duty.
For them to say debunked
today,
conspiracy theories. Wait, let's see if they throw that
the
buzzword in there, too.
By taking action to defend our national security, to preserve our democratic elections, and to show that no one, not even the president,
is above the law. Yeah, of course. More
now
buzzwords.
I'm now happy to introduce the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff.
All right, so we're watching some live coverage that's going on, and within the last half hour or so, they were wrapping up the votes. And if you missed that, I was streaming it online, and it sounded like this.
On this vote, the yeas are 230, the nays are 197, present is one. Article 1 is adopted. The question is on adoption of Article 2.
Uh-huh. And then they go on to Article 2, and as expected.
On this vote, the yeas are 229, the nays are 198, present is 1, Article 2 is adopted.
So both articles go through, and as expected, almost exactly down party lines, exactly how everyone expected it to play out. President Trump has now officially been impeached after, well, you know, the last couple of months of us knowing exactly what was going to happen. It was strange. It's almost like all of us were like Nostradamus. Did we figure out exactly what was going to happen in the future. Somehow he did. Adam Schiff is now speaking. Let's listen in.
Senators uphold their oath. Do the senators want to hear from the witnesses?
Uphold their oath. There's another buzzword they've been using a lot lately.
We have to hope that they do. The reason we undertook this extraordinary step is because the president not only abused his office, but threatens to abuse it again. Threatens to interfere again by inviting foreign interference in our election. The remedy isn't complete as long as the president is free to continue to invite foreign interference in our affairs. I just want to close by thanking the speaker for guiding the Congress through this tumultuous time. There's no one, I think, who could have guided the Congress with a steadier hand or with more insight and intellect than the Speaker of the House. And I also want to thank my colleagues, in particular, so many new members of the House who have displayed such courage, who have shown that they truly have the courage of their convictions. Thank you.
Courage. Yeah, this is it. You know, give themselves the honor of valor right now. The courage of the
Congressman here. I just want to add that one person who isn't with us physically in this room, but I know is present, was present all day for the deliberations.
Is this the Baltimore Congressman?
Our chair of the Gov Reform, our Oversight Committee chair, our North Star, Elijah Cummings. Mm. He said, when the history books are written about.
All right, so there it is. President Trump is officially impeached, and we move forward now to the Senate. And there's a lot of debate, or some debate, of what's going to exactly happen next. The House of Representatives vote on both abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. I'm going to keep an eye on what's going on here. I know President Trump's doing a rally. He's holding it in Michigan right now, of all places, in the middle of nowhere. I think it was Battle Creek, where it smells like Kellogg's cereal right about now. I wonder if they could get the Frosted Flakes while they're in town. So here we are on this Wednesday night, December 18th, 2019, just moments, less than an hour ago, where the House decided to vote yay on both articles of impeachment. President Trump now officially impeached, joining Johnson and Clinton on that endeavor. Here we go. Well, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. And, you know, we're going to absolutely take some of your calls. I was taking some notes and taking some clips when I was listening to the different congressmen and women that were giving their speeches today. It was mostly procedural. I think there wasn't any surprises in that sense. I think there's a lot of people that are sounding off right now. Like, for example, Lindsey Graham is on Fox, but CNN's covering the Nancy Pelosi post coverage. And I don't know if the Republicans have had a response to this yet. If they have, I haven't quite seen it yet. It looks like some of the higher profile Republicans are going to the news networks. We don't have a lot of time to take your calls, so this is what we're going to do. So here's a little bit of a programming note. And this is kind of a weird thing, because since Overnight America starts at 8 o'clock, we do the replay hours after midnight. So if you're listening to this after midnight, you're listening to the replay hour. This is for the people listening live right now, or, you know, not listening on the podcast as well. We're going to have a guest on, former U.S. Special Forces legend, retired Command Sergeant Major, and his new book is out, talking about the Delta Force. He's a St. Louis native, Tom Satterley. He's going to come on at 8:30. Jack Goldsmith on at 9 o'clock right after. He's a former senior U.S. Department of Justice official. He's got a new book out about his research into Jimmy Hoffa. And maybe we can even talk to him about some of the things we've seen today. You know, the Department of Justice, certainly there's some people questioning the integrity of some of the offices inside of the federal agencies right now. But we're going to certainly at 9:30 take more calls, and we're going to spend a lot of time tonight talk about the impeachment. I got a lot of clips to play. But if you want to get a couple of quick little notes in, if you want to get some quick impressions in, we might be able to do those before we bring on our first guest. You can certainly text in at any time at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is the number you can call in as well. And I will say, this is going to be a busy night. We're certainly going to cover all of this. Don't you worry about that. I got a lot to get to. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right. Welcome back to Overnight America. Nancy Pelosi now just wrapping up the post-impeachment press conference.
Thank you. Probably, hopefully, will be inspired by the moral courage of our
again, this buzzword stuff of courage.
Especially as the
they're so brave. Democrats, they are so brave. so brave to impeach Donald Trump for the past 2 years, 3 years. That's all they've been talking about. They're so brave tonight to pass that vote.
Their decision.
Give me a break.
Again, to honor their oath of office.
Uh-huh. So much courage. So much courage. Yeah, so much courage. That was a live look in at the press conference that was happening. We got a couple of different feeds from CBS that are looking into some other press conferences, but the one that I have over here is President Trump in Battle Creek, Michigan, who's giving a rally right now. You want to listen to that, see what he's saying?
That was 4 years ago, so it was 20 years before that. That's 24, 25 years
ago. I have no idea where he's at right
now. They made more money 24 years ago than they were making when I got elected president. And they worked one job versus two or three jobs. Now it's going up.
All right, so I guess he's talking about wages. So it looks like he's already off impeachment talk. Did he start his rally talking about the vote? Now he's already moved on?
The group of people that are going up is the blue-collar worker.
Yeah, looks like President Trump already moving on. I'm going to keep monitoring some of these other feeds that are going on. And like I mentioned before, we're going to have two guests on. Tom Satterley, U.S. Special Forces legend, also a retired commander, sergeant major, command sergeant major. He's got a book called All Secure. He's a St. Louis guy, and we're going to talk to him about the battlefield and the home front, and it's going to be a great conversation. In fact, he was in not that long ago with Mark Reardon, and I had him scheduled to come in. We had to move some things around because of the poor weather and because of the holiday radio show moving from Monday to Tuesday. And because of all of those things, we're going to have him over the phone, which will happen here in about 10 minutes. And then right after 9 o'clock, Jack Goldsmith's a Harvard Law professor, also former senior U.S. Department of Justice official. His book's called In Hoffa's Shadow. In fact, he grew up where his stepfather was someone that was accused of killing Jimmy Hoffa. It's a real fascinating book. A lot of people talking Jimmy Hoffa again because of that Netflix movie that came out, the speculation of what happened there. He's done a lot of research. Why? Because it's part of his family. One of his members were accused of the ones killing him. So what does he have to say? What has he found in the research? What really happened to Jimmy Hoffa? We're going to let him give his take coming up after 9 o'clock. And these are guests I've had booked for a long time, and it just so happens the impeachment vote goes down tonight. And you don't know when these things are going to happen. They just do. All right, it looks like the CBS feed is off. Okay, if for whatever reason they come back and give another press conference, maybe the Republicans give a rebuttal to what happened today, we will play that. There was certainly a lot of talk on the House floor today. Where do we want to start? You know, one of the big speeches right before the vote, it seems like they left some of their heavy hitters towards the end. Steve Scalise stood up and talked about this whole impeachment process, and he was not holding back on it. I think Steve Scalise has certainly some leeway when it comes to the way he handles himself. He was a victim of violence. If you remember the congressional softball game where the madman over in Illinois goes out there, politically motivated to go and shoot and kill Republicans, goes out there, ends up, of course, shooting Steve Scalise, who, thank God, survived, ends up killing himself at that point, the suspect. So what we have is Steve Scalise returning to Congress, having his moments together, and he gets to go up there on the floor and give his thoughts, and he's given extra time, rightfully so. You give him a little bit more consideration for that. And I thought this would be a good one to play before we go to break, because I think this really sets up how a lot of Republicans are feeling tonight when it comes to impeachment.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Impeaching a president of the United States, this isn't about some solemn duty tonight. Let's talk about what this is really about. This has been about a political vendetta. A political vendetta that didn't just start with the Zelensky call. It started long before that. Just listen to some of the quotes from Democrats in this chamber. Speaker Pelosi, quote, "It's been going on for 22 months, 2.5 years actually. We cannot accept a second term for Donald Trump. What's more serious is that he can't win. This isn't about some crime that was committed. It's about fear that he might win re-election. That's not why you impeach a president." Al Green, quote, "I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get re-elected." The list goes on, Madam Speaker. In fact, there's some quotes that I can't even read on this House floor that some of our colleagues made. And keep in mind, more than 100 Democrats on this House floor voted to impeach this president before the Zelensky phone call. Just look at some of these articles of impeachment that they voted for. 2 years ago, 58 Democrats voted to impeach the president over comments he made about NFL players kneeling for the Pledge of Allegiance. Impeaching the president, over 50 Democrats voted to impeach him for that. Just this summer, over 90 Democrats voted to impeach the president for comments he made about the Squad. So he makes comments about some other members of Congress who make a lot of comments about him, and 95 members vote to impeach the president of the United States. This is a political vendetta. It has nothing to do with the crime committed. There was no crime. And why don't we listen to some of the witnesses?
And he goes on. And in fact, this is just part of nearly 5 minutes where he was on the floor. And it shows a lot of the frustrations. And this is what you normally see if you were to watch the mainstream networks, is you see the criticisms. They go on there and they use these terms like debunk conspiracy theories and the Republicans are all liars. And they go on the floor and they should be censored and you shouldn't listen to them. In CNN's case, they won't even cover it. If it's a Republican that's leading a committee like Lindsey Graham, for example, they'll just skip out of it altogether. And you even find instances where there's some pretty large revelations that come forward about FISA abuse, and even the FISA court, in an extremely rare move, come out with a statement that talked about all of the multiple, 17, they say, over a dozen abuses of some pretty serious grave concerns about how they abuse that system. And the FISA court has to come forward and also condemn the way the FBI operated. What we're finding today is that we're operating in an ends justify the means type of mentality in politics. I'm not saying it's just the Democrats, but I'm saying right now it's the Democrats. They got the eye on the prize, which is we need to get Donald Trump out of office. And if the ends justify the means, it doesn't matter if it's proper. It doesn't matter if it is going against the grain of what we've done traditionally. It doesn't matter if there's enough evidence. It doesn't matter if the ways and the means they get about it is wrong, or they have to falsify documents, or if they have to abuse different agencies like the FBI. And it doesn't matter if they have to go out there and just keep pushing and pushing and pushing until even every little tiny thing is grounds for impeachment. And they'll go out and they'll do this over and over and over again, and the eyes on the prize. Ends justify the means. They got what they wanted today, which was impeachment. They knew they had the power to do so. They knew after the last midterm election, they were able to get enough votes. The Republicans weren't able to sway enough over, and it went nearly down party lines with only just a few voting the other way. But this was exactly how we thought it would go. The big question is, how's it going to go in the Senate next? Is it going to go exactly as predicted in the Senate, which is likely? And he will not be removed from office unless there's some major bombshell. A lot of emotions, though. In about an hour, I'm going to take some of your calls on this. I have a lot to go over from today. A lot of people on the floor, a lot of people to hear from. We have a couple of guests that we scheduled in. So let me do this. Go ahead and hold your calls on impeachment. You can text in if you want to 314-436-7900. Tom Satterley is going to join us next live on the show. He's a command sergeant major, retired now, and also a U.S. Special Force legend here from St. Louis. Great stories to tell. Important stories to tell. We want him to tell a story tonight. Jack Goldsmith's going to join us after the top of the hour, and we'll talk about In Hoffa's Shadow, which is a new book that's out. He's a former U.S. Department of Justice official, Harvard Law professor, spent a lot of time looking into this, and a lot of people bringing Jimmy Hoffa back up thanks to this Netflix movie that came out. What is the truth behind it? And of course, there's a lot of ways to dramatize what happened, but he's the one that put a lot of research into it because someone in his family was accused to be the person that actually killed Jimmy Hoffa. So he had a pretty big vested interest in finding exactly what happened. And he's the one we're going to learn from coming up. 9:30, we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about the impeachment. And I want to get some of your raw emotions on this. Is this just the new normal in today's society? We got a lot to get to on Overnight America. Don't go anywhere. It's KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yeah, as producer Mike said, he put in some impeachment music. That's funny. All right, well, we had a couple of scheduled guests, and we're going to talk more impeachment in about an hour. But first, I wanted to welcome in someone very, very familiar with St. Louis, in fact, from here. He is a legend in his own right. You may have heard him on the Mark Reardon program. He was on not that long ago, a U.S. Special Forces legend. He's also a retired command sergeant major. He's got a new book out And it's talking about the battle with PTSD. It's called All Secure, a Delta Force operator's fight to survive on the battlefield in the home front. Tom Satterly, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, I'm sorry. We wish we could have done this in studio. I know there was some boundaries with the weather and whatnot, but I'm glad we can hook up tonight.
Yeah, me too. I wish I had to come in, but I'm glad we can get together for sure.
Yeah, you're traveling all over. Are you mostly doing book tours right now?
You know, they don't do a lot of book tours. They're just kind of marketing and publicity and news and radio and things like that. They weren't looking too deep into the book tours. They just don't get a lot of interest, I guess.
Really? That's strange. Well, I know there's a lot of people that are interested in this topic, and I think people are familiar with you because of your background in St. Louis, but I think a lot of people may not know exactly your background, and there's a lot of different media that portrays very historical events that you were a part of, including the movie Black Hawk Down. Can you kind of give us a summary of your background?
Absolutely. 25 years in the Army, and 20 that was spent in Delta Force. So I came in just for a four-year stint, and then during that 4 years, I got a taste of so much more that I decided to reenlist, jump school, start hitting the school train, and I went Green Berets, and then I immediately turned around and went to Delta. So it was just kind of like schools on up until I got to the top and spent the rest of my career there.
Wow. Pretty tough, man. I mean, people see these things depicted in media. Is it any close to the representation of what really happens?
Yeah, it was the chaos was completely on. It really caught. I picked up things in the movie that I wasn't aware of because, you know, when you're in combat, you see your thing and that's it. And somebody standing to your left and right is going to see something completely different. And then the movie gave me a picture of what kind of went on in different locations, which was unique to me. I probably would have never known most of that stuff without the movie. It's definitely hard to capture the feelings and emotions and the fear. Hmm. And I was there, and I saw the movie during a premiere when they showed us a pre-screening, and all my friends were together that were there. So it was kind of like a great PTSD moment where we all just made fun of ourselves and people who thought, you know, actors were acting like. But I've never been able to watch it since.
Wow. Yeah, it has that sort of impact. In your book, All Secure, you are someone that talks about the battle with PTSD. And it's something that affects a lot of different people who have served, maybe have served overseas and seen battle. This is how I've heard it depicted in people in circles where they know. They say that we give it lip service. We talk about it here in the United States, but we really don't address it the way we should. Do you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah, it's difficult to approach people on the subject. When Jen and I spoke in Congress, and we got to walk around the House and talk to fellows and things and senators, they all told us the same thing. We don't know how to approach the veteran. Hmm. We don't know how to say something. We don't want to upset them. I'm telling them they're already upset. They're looking for help. Just talk to them like they're humans. They just need to feel accepted again. You know, when you get out, you leave your tribe and you're no longer doing things with like-minded individuals, and it's difficult to let go. And even us veterans need to learn to understand and accept our new future, you know, our new now. It's not living in the past. As I did this, and as in when I got out of the military, my wife was like, "Hi, what do you do?" "Oh, I was in Delta." You know, as mm-hmm. no, "What do you do? What do you do now?" Mm-hmm. And it hit me. I'm like, you know what? That's what I was, and it can define you a little bit, but it's not your life.
Yeah, you find too, even going back, if you want to look at the Korean War, the Vietnam War in particular, it took so long for I think the government and even some of the different funding to be made available to even address these things for generations. People who were living with PTSD, they were getting really no treatment, or they were getting no acknowledgement of it. They were just living with it. And that was a major problem. I mean, at least we're starting to amp it up a little bit now. And I look at my own family, and I look at people around my family, other veterans I've talked to that are, you know, among a generation before mine. And you see some of these common traits that go around, and you see some of the issues that they deal with, and you realize, wow, there was nothing afforded to them in order to address this. They lived with it for so long until almost recently that they started to take it more seriously. You know, that's a problem. I mean, maybe it's good that we're looking at it more seriously now, but we had so many different years that went by where they just didn't give any credence to it.
No, and I liken it to prosthetic limbs. when there's not a lot of need for it, there's not a lot of money put into it. And now we've been at war for over 20 years, and whenever there's a spike in war, a lot of limbs are lost. Now look at prosthetic limbs. Same with PTS. I spoke at the Racquet Club maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and when I was finished, a gentleman took me over to introduce me to his father, who fought in the Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And he grabbed my hand, and I had to lean down really close to hear him speak, and we both just started crying. And he was thanking me for the talk and telling me that he never spoke to anybody about it, but he's always felt that way. He immediately knew what I was talking about, and that he wished he would have spoken to somebody about it.
Oh, wow. Is it hard for you to talk about it? I mean, now that you're someone that's out in the public and you're doing speaking engagements, you have the book, and people start to read the book, and I'm sure when they read All Secure, they'll have questions about it. Do you find that it's difficult for you to be so public about this?
It's cathartic for me. I hear the same story 5 to 10 times a day from veterans, my wife, from veteran spouses. The stories are all so similar. How you got there, those stories are different. Those are the stories, those are the war stories that we used to want to hear. That's what we think is cool, but we never hear the effect. And so when you realize that the effect and that it's having on everyone is so similar, no matter what the story is, and I'm talking CEOs of organizations, first responders, doctors, people who see horrible things.
Yeah.
People who lose a brother, sister, mother, father, and they suffer alone, and then they realize, wow, we're all so similar if I would just spoken to somebody about it. But it seems that we've either done it to ourselves, put a label on it where, oh, I don't have a disorder, PTSD sounds bad, and I might lose my clearance, or you'll take my guns away. I don't remember anyone ever telling me that. I mean, until the recent red flag laws. But even then, it makes good common sense sometimes to want to err on the side of safety. But people feel they're losing their privacies, so they don't even come out to let you know that they need help. So it's those strong, silent ones that worry us the most, because they're the ones that will go through with the suicide.
Yeah.
They're warriors, and they're warriors and feel, if I, I've been trained to deal with problems or take them out. And if I can't deal with it, I'm going to just take out the problem. And if the problem's me, I mean, that was the thought process I had. I did not want to be a burden on anyone.
Wow. Tom Satterley joining us here. He's a retired command sergeant major. And the book is out called All Secured, A Delta Force Operator's Fight to Survive on the Battlefront and the Home Front. And I've worked with different food pantries and things, and they said one of the biggest challenges they have are different veterans, especially the Vietnam-era veterans, who they back themselves into their apartment or their house, and they just have that fear of leaving. They, you know, they may have family members that come over, they'll look in their fridge, and there's nothing. Basically, they have enough, they have just enough motivation, they have just enough in them to go to like the corner gas station and pick up a few things and bring it back. They have this fear and they have a hard time reaching out, asking for help. And these pantries are out there. They're saying, we just want to go out there. We're doing as much as we can to outreach because we want to help people. But the people aren't coming to us naturally. It's one of those things. And you probably see that too. So many people that are out there, they just don't ask for help. They live and, you know, this is what they say, typically speaking. They have their surroundings. They like to make sure everything's dark inside there. They want to make sure the blinds are shut. And if they leave the house, it's sometimes strenuous for them. And they just really want to get to them, but they can't, and they don't know how to do it either.
Those people scare me because it's become their identity. It became my identity for a while. I didn't want to leave the house. I watched TV all night. I slept all day. There's two emotions, love. And then people say, hey, but it's love and fear. And now they're living in fear. Some of my friends from Special Ops as well, when I get out, I'm going to move out to Montana where nobody is, and I'll be a lot better because I hate people. And then they move out to Montana, who, by the way, has the highest suicide rate, and they're alone with their problems because the problems are still there, because the problems are us. I used to blame everyone else. We see it a lot nowadays, people blaming everyone else for their mistakes and miseries and what's going on. And you can't fix everyone else. When I realized the problem was me, I could get to work on my problem and start to heal. But I didn't want it to be my identity. I didn't want it to be, here's what I've always done. And now it's easy just to fall in my misery. They need to get out. They need to speak to people. They need to have interaction, because that's what we all crave, is connection.
Yeah. Do you find something?
We don't have it.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And when we don't have it, then we do. We live in that corner, and then it's not our habit, so we hide. Now we just need to change our habit.
Yeah.
Go out little steps at a time and get out and reintegrate with the world.
Yeah. And I find, too, generationally speaking, you talk to many different people that have served over different periods of time. Do you find that there's any challenges that are specific to today's military that maybe didn't affect those from decades ago? Or do you find there's a lot of this that's universal?
I think it's always been universal. I think what's different about now is social media and the ability to instantly connect with the rest of the world and to find a tribe of people feeling the same way. So back then, you didn't have all this social media, so you didn't know all these people felt this way unless you read some report or saw it on the news, you know, if they even talked about it. But now people are openly posting on multiple social media platforms about their feelings, or F this, or screw that, or I hate this, and this is what happened to me. Sharing their stories, whether it be in an angry way or a helpful way, but now you're seeing all of those stories out there, and then you're seeing instantly when people commit suicide and friends of friends are connected. So you're seeing how in-depth this problem is.
Wow. Tom Satterley joining us here in the book All Secure that's out now. You can check out. And I'm so glad you're on the show tonight. Do you mind holding on a couple minutes and coming back after the break?
Absolutely.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue our conversation on Overnight America KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America, and our special guest this hour is Tom Satterley, and his new book's called All Secure, A Special Operation Soldiers Fight to Survive on the Battlefield and the Home Front. And Tom, thank you so much for hanging around with us tonight on KMOX.
No, thank you. I enjoy being here.
So you're a Sunset Hills guy?
Absolutely. For about the last 6 years, I'm actually... come from a place where Hoosier means something else as well.
Yeah, I lived in Fort Wayne for a while, and I was cool to see up in Sunset Hills. Do you have the All Secure Foundation? Do you run that out of St. Louis here?
We run it out of anywhere, but yes, we have an office in this area in Sunset Hills that my wife and I diligently work out of daily. And we have people also around different parts of the states because we take it on the road when we do our couples retreats. We find nice locations, but most, the biggest one is we actually go to Big Cedar a lot.
Mm-hmm. What do you?
They've been very.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just sorry. They've been very good to us there. So,
tell us about the All Secure Foundation and what you do.
We help couples, special operations, combat warriors, and their significant others and or spouses reintegrate back into society, reintegrate back into each other, and learn the triggers and emotions that are associated with PTS and a long service in the military. But our biggest thing is we focus on the families, mm-hmm. because we've seen a lot of organizations that help veterans, and that's amazing, and we love them, and they're great. But then the veteran goes back home, and we kind of put two and two together that whether you're a general or a private or a CEO or you work in a mailroom somewhere, when you go home, you're just like everyone else. You're a spouse trying to make your family work and stay together. So that's the foundation of everything we are. So we wanted to work on the family as a couple.
Mm. How many people do you work with in any given year?
We can do up to, I'd say, 75 mm-hmm. Individuals, as well as we just added in active duty special operations. And those are running about 300 a class, and we're looking at doing four.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This next year. So we're trying to attack the active duty as well.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're on and they're deployed and they're back homes, they're at least thinking about these triggers and aware. And that way, when they do get out, they have a good start.
Yeah. And this is a nonprofit. What you should do is we do the KMOX Voice of Caring. We should hook you up to get you involved with that. That'd be great to get more information out about that.
Yeah, that'd be good because we have six retreats a year, at least here in Big Cedar. So we're looking to increase that as well in different locations.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to talk to you about President Trump and the Prevents Task Force. Have you seen in recent years, or maybe in the most last couple of years, there's a little bit more attention given to this during the Trump administration?
There has been more attention given to it lately, that's for sure. There's a lot more awareness they're pushing. I know that I think the VA had a pretty good fail last year that they're going to have to come back on, where they were given a lot of money and they didn't spend that money.
Mm.
So I know the opportunity's been there to help now, and it's just trying to figure out how to manage such a large organization, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, it is a big organization. Have you worked with anyone in politics? Because you said you testified in front of Congress, but are there any individual people you've worked with?
There are not. We are working with a gentleman out of Montana that works for NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, who actually got us to go to Congress to help speak about a bill they wanted passed for biomarkers that would identify individuals with PTSD. So you could either confirm or deny whether an individual had PTS based on this biomarker. And they wanted to tell our story to try to push this bill. And then Senator McCain's group came out and was actually wanting to throw it, not just in the VA, but throw it in the DOD as well, which was great to hear. So we're hoping that that goes somewhere. And they're actually asking us to come back this summer, back up to D.C. So hopefully in our near future.
What's a biomarker? Like, what do you mean by that?
I think it's the way that they draw your blood and they can tell based on the PTS is biological in your body. And they're trying to just find a touchstone that they can say, yes, everybody, when we draw your blood, we can tell that you have had PTSD. And basically, it's inflammation is what they're looking for. Huh. All illnesses are based on inflammation. So they're narrowing things down so well nowadays. They're just trying to refine it, make it perfect. And what NAMI's saying is, let's get it out here now and then refine it later. Let's get it out now and then start working on it. But let's not hold it till it's perfect.
Yeah. So you have All Secure that's out, and it's getting great reviews. I had to go to Amazon.com. I was just curious. Sometimes I like to look at the ratings. And you have 5-star rating on there. 94% of the people that rated it gave it 5 stars. Lots of reviews, and you've done really well. If people wanted to check out your book, All Secure, where can they find it?
They can find it on our website at allsecurefoundation.org. They can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I'm hearing from across the nation there are a lot of small bookstores as well.
Yeah, there's some great small bookstores here in St. Louis. A lot of local bookstores. They put a lot of pride into making sure they have the right things in there. And being in Sunset Hills, when's the next time you're going to be in town?
I'm in town now, and I'm here for the holidays. I think we've got some stuff going around, and we're trying to get back. I know you mentioned small bookstores. We were at the Novel Neighbor, and that's where I did my first book signing. The Novel Neighbor, a local bookstore here, and it was a small bookstore, and that's that we've really helped support, you know, our local communities.
Oh yeah, my wife loves the Novel Neighbor because they got that big tree in there, so when she brings the kid in, he can go look at the kid's stuff in that tree. He feels cool, and it's just got a good feel to it. You know, bookstores, they smell nice. I wish you could bottle that smell. It's just hard to get replicated unless you go into one of them, you know? All right, so the book is out now, and you can find it places like the Novel Neighbor, a lot of local bookstores here. And who we've been talking to the last half hour, Tom Satterley, and the book is out now, and maybe you want to get it for Christmas. This would be an excellent book to find. It's called All Secure, A Special Operations Soldier's Fight to Survive on the Battlefield in the Home Front. I'm so glad you joined us this last hour. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do this again sometime, knowing that you're just down the road from us. I hope we can do that.
I would love to. Just let me know.
Perfect. That's Tom Satterley, and again, he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. We're going to podcast this interview if you want to go back and listen to it. Maybe you caught us mid-conversation. It's at KMOX.com/ONA. A lot to get to on the show, and you know there's the articles of impeachment that happened earlier. We're going to talk more about that in the next hour. Jack Goldsmith is going to be our next guest. He's a former senior U.S. Department of Justice official. He's got a book out called In Hoffa's Shadow. And this is a really interesting look. And the reason for that is one of his family members was accused, at least looked at by the FBI, as the person that killed Jimmy Hoffa. Later, they found out it wasn't him. But he's got a lot of info. He's done a lot of research on it. And with this Netflix movie that just came out, you know, about the legend of Hoffa or whatever it is, we're going to get his take on what really happened. Maybe try to debunk some of the myths and things coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.